My name is Sam Gregg. I'm the Director of Research at the Acton Institute, located here in Grand Rapids. And our subject this afternoon is, can the welfare state be effectively limited? You can laugh now. That's the cue. As I'm sure you all know, there's really been no shortage of critiques of the modern welfare state, even from its very beginning, at least in legislated form, in Imperial Germany under Otto von Bismarck, that great lover of freedom, as part of the Iron Chancellor's forlorn attempts to stop the growing industrial German working class from voting for the Social Democratic Party. And by welfare state, we obviously don't just mean handouts. A more precise attention to the definition of the welfare state involves attention to the ways in which modern governments have gone beyond traditional responsibilities, such as foreign policy, defense, protecting private property, public works, and administering the legal system. And I think this becomes clearer when we identify the four broad activities associated with state welfare. First of all, there's social insurance. So these are legally defined and specified benefits paid by the state to particular categories of people. A second is labor security policies. These are the rules regulating the hiring and firing of individuals by private businesses or the state. Third, subsidies, state supplements to a person or family's income on the basis of criteria such as marital status, number of children, level of income, and occupation, such as farmers. Fourthly, services. These are specific services provided by the state, sometimes directly and sometimes in partnership with non-state organizations to all eligible citizens. Socialized medicine is, of course, a good example. Now, within these parameters, welfare states in Europe and North America have emphasized different methods and priorities. Some might be characterized as following a Scandinavian model. Here, social protection is considered a right, coverage is universal, and the system is centrally administered. Others adhere to a more Bismarckian model. These emphasize employment security and rely partly upon employer and employee contributions. Now, systematic critiques of the welfare state took a little longer to emerge. Interestingly, I think some of the most comprehensive of the early critiques came from the German economist and very good friend of Russell Kirk, and that's the German economist Wilhelm Röpke. In 1951, he was asked by Konrad Adenauer to write a report on the German economy. And Röpke, of course, was one of the people who had saved Germany after the Second World War by being one of the people who had pushed for the liberalization of the German economy against the advice of the Allied military occupation authorities, as well as pretty much everyone in politics in Germany at the time. Now, in this 1951 report, he said things are going very well in Germany, but he also said the welfare state is already too big. It's having damaging effects upon our culture, upon our families, upon the way that people work. And if it starts to grow any bigger, we're going to experience a number of economic and moral problems. And he was saying this 20 years before people like Daniel Moynihan started raising these questions in the 1960s and 1970s. But whatever form it takes, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that we who care about freedom have, for the most part, generally been better at critiquing the philosophical, economic, and moral effects of the welfare state, and we've been less good at proposing solutions to the welfare state and proposing alternatives to the welfare state that address some of the economic and social problems that welfare states have tried and in many respects failed to resolve. So this last session today, our three speakers are going to outline what they think can be done to stop, if not wind back, the welfare state's relentless march through our economies and societies. This is a subject our three speakers are going to address in their short presentations. Our speakers' biographies are on the website for this meeting, so I'm going to be brief about introducing them. Our first speaker, William Vogely, is a senior editor of the Claremont Review of Books. He's a visiting scholar at Claremont McKenna's College's Henry Salvatore Center, and is the author of a number of books, including Never Enough, America's Limitless Welfare State, a book I highly recommend, and The Pity Party, a mean-spirited diatribe against liberal compassion. I love these titles. His work has appeared in the Christian Science Monitor, City Journal, Commentary, Family in America, First Things, Los Angeles Times, National Review, and The New Criterion. Dr. Vogelin.